Brethren, I am always humbled as I stand before a body of the men holding a priesthood, priesthood of God, which is the power of God, delegated to man to act in his name in the office which he holds. It frightens me to think of the great power that could be exerted if every man holding the priesthood of God would live according to the teachings of the gospel and the covenant which the Lord has made with holders of the priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was restored in these latter days by John the Baptist, who placed his hands upon the head of Joseph Smith and conferred it upon him. The Melchizedek priesthood, as you know, was conferred through the laying on of hands by Peter, James, and John, who appeared to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. Now each of you holds the priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, or preparing yourself to hold it. Read often the oath and covenant of the priesthood in the 84th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, and be sure that you are performing your part of the agreement. The priesthood is the greatest power on earth. It is by the power of the priesthood that the earth was created, and the universe, and all things pertaining thereto were done. Now this church was organized by the power of the priesthood, by one called of God by revelation. We know that God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ appeared to the young boy Joseph Smith, and from then on he was continually guided by revelation. Regarding the establishment of the church, we read this: the rise of the Church of Christ in these last days by the will and commandments of God, which commandments were given to Joseph Smith, Jr., who was called of God and ordained an apostle of Jesus Christ, to be the first elder of the church. We read further: behold, there shall be a record kept among you, and in it thou shalt be called a seer, a translator, a prophet, an apostle of Jesus Christ, an elder of the church through the will of God the Father, and the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. Let me assure you, brethren, that you belong to the church of Jesus Christ, and that the church is directed by Jesus Christ through a prophet of God, even our beloved president, Spencer W. Kimball. I'd like to tell you something about the way the church operates from headquarters. We often hear the church referred to as a democracy, when in reality, instead of being a church where the body is governed by officers elected by the members, the church is a theocracy where God directs his work, church, through the representative chosen by him. Our fifth article of faith states, we believe that man must be called of God by prophecy, by the laying on of hands, by those who are in authority to preach the gospel and administer in the ordinances thereof. Now this is the way Joseph Smith was chosen by the Lord as president of his church and set apart by those authorized by the Lord to do so. It's always been a testimony to me as I read the 107th section of the Doctrine and Covenants to see how all the offices of the priesthood were listed, the duties of each given to Joseph Smith. We read, of the Melchizedek priesthood, three presiding high priests, chosen by the body, appointed and ordained to that office, and upheld by the confidence, faith, and prayer of the church, form a quorum of the first presidency of the church. And again, the duty of the president of this office of the high priest, high priesthood, is to preside over the church, whole church, and to be like unto Moses. Yea, to be a seer, a revelator, a translator, and a prophet, having all the gifts of God which he bestows upon the head of the church. And again, the 12 traveling counselors are called to be the 12 apostles, or special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world. And they form a quorum, now this is important, they form a quorum equal in authority and power to the three presidents. The following is recorded in the teaching of Joseph, the prophet, Joseph Smith. President Smith next proceeded to explain the duty of the 12 and their authority, which is next to the present presidency. Also, 12 are not subject to any other than the first presidency. And where I am not, meaning the president of the church, there is no first presidency over the 12. At the death of Joseph Smith, the 12 became the presiding authority of the church, which has been the case with the death of each president since. And the 12 continues to preside until a new first presidency is organized. I'd like to explain to you exactly what took place following the unexpected death of President Harold B. Lee. On December the 26, 1973, I was in Phoenix, Arizona, to spend Christmas with my daughter and her family, when a call came to me from Arthur Haycock, Secretary to President Lee. He said that President Lee was seriously ill. He thought that I should plan to return home as soon as possible. A half hour later, he called and said, "The Lord has spoken. President Lee has been called home." Now, President Romney, second counselor in my absence, was directing the affairs of the church and was at the hospital with President Spencer W. Kimball, president of the Council of the Twelve. Immediately upon the death of President Lee, President Romney turned to President Kimball and said, "You are in charge." Remember, the prophet Joseph Smith had said that without the president, there was no first presidency over the 12. Not 1 minute had passed between the time President Lee died and the 12 took over as the presiding authority of the church. Following President Lee's funeral, President Kimball called a meeting of all of the apostles for Sunday, December the 30th at 3 p.m. in the Salt Lake Temple Council Room. President Romney and I had taken our respective places of seniority in the council, so there were 14 of us present. Following a song and prayer by President Romney, President Kimball, in deep humility, expressed his feelings to us. He said that he had spent Friday in the temple talking to the Lord, and he shed many tears as he prayed for guidance in assuming his new responsibilities and the choosing of his counselors. Now, dressed in the robes of the Holy Priesthood, we held our prayer circle. President Kimball asked me to conduct, and Elder Thomas S. Monson to offer the prayer. Following this, President Kimball explained the purpose of the meeting and called on each member of the quorum in order of seniority, starting with Elder Ezra Taft Benson, to express his feelings as to whether or not the first presidency should be organized that day or whether we should carry on as the Council of the Twelve. Each said we should organize now, and many complimentary things, of course, were spoken about President Kimball and his work with the Twelve. Then Elder Ezra Taft Benson nominated Spencer W. Kimball to be the president of the church. This was seconded by Elder Mark E. Peterson and unanimously approved. President Kimball then nominated N. Eldon Tanner as first counselor and Marion G. Romney as second counselor, each of whom expressed a willingness to accept the position and devote his whole time and energy in serving in that capacity. They were unanimously approved. Then Elder Mark E. Peterson, second in seniority of the 12, nominated Ezra Taft Benson, the senior member of the 12, as president of the quorum of the 12. This was unanimously approved. At this point, all the members present laid their hands upon the head of Spencer W. Kimball, and President Ezra Taft Benson was voiced in blessing, ordaining, and setting apart Spencer W. Kimball as the 12th president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Then, with President Kimball's voice, and Eldon Tanner was set apart as first counselor, and Marion G. Romney as second counselor in the first presidency of the church. Following the same procedure, he pronounced the blessing and setting apart of it, President Ezra Taft Benson, president of the Quorum of the Twelve. There were then 11 members of the 12, and this would necessitate calling a new man to fill the vacancy of the quorum. You may be interested to learn how the general authorities are called. They are chosen by the president through inspiration and revelation as he considers the names of those who, at his invitation, have been recommended by members of the 12, together with those whom he might be considering himself. Because of the inspiration and revelation involved, a general authority is actually divinely appointed, and is approved by the Council of the Twelve before being called and set apart, and later sustained by the General Conference. To give you an example of how this works, let me share with you an experience with President Heber J. Grant. While he was a member of the Council of 12, when asked by the president of the church to submit names, he repeatedly submitted that of a very good friend of his for consideration to fill this vacancy. The man was never chosen, and President Grant is reported to have said at one time that if he ever became president of the church and there was a vacancy to fill, he would call that man because he was so well qualified. After he became president, and it was necessary to fill a vacancy, he told the Lord that he knew whom he wanted, but that he wanted to select the man that the Lord wanted. The name of Melvin J. Ballard, whom President Grant knew slightly, but not too well, came into his mind and kept recurring to him to let him know that he was the man who should be called. He was nominated then by President Grant and approved by the 12. He was ordained and set apart by the First Presidency and Council of the 12, and at the following General Conference was presented to those in attendance for their sustaining vote. Now, all matters pertaining to the administration of the Church come under the direction of the First Presidency, and the affairs are generally divided into three categories. First, those administered by the First Presidency. Second, ecclesiastical matters administered by the 12 under the direction of the First Presidency, and third, temporal affairs administered by the presiding bishopric as assigned to them by the First Presidency. Let me list some of the things administered directly by the First Presidency: area conferences, solemn assemblies, budgeting, educational, historical, personnel departments, temples, auditing, the coordinating council, and the welfare services. Now let me outline briefly some of the responsibilities of the 12. Under the direction of the First Presidency, the Council of the 12 is responsible for all the ecclesiastical matters of the church and of the administration of the ecclesiastical affairs of the church carried on by members of the First Quorum of the 70. It has the responsibility of scheduling state conferences throughout the church and making assignments to the general authorities to attend these conferences, which are held weekly throughout the year, except in July. Under the 12, there are at present four departments. Each department is administered by the three or four 70s, with their staff under the direction of the 12. They are, namely, priesthood, missionary, genealogical, and curriculum departments. I shall endeavor to deal very briefly later with only two or three of these departments. The Council of the 12 is also responsible for the planning of seminars for new mission presidents and two each year for the regional representatives. We are all aware that the 12 would not be able to carry on these heavy assignments alone, and that provision has been made for the necessary assistance. You know that some years ago, some men were appointed as assistants to the 12. And more recently, due to the rapid growth of the church and in keeping with the teachings of Joseph Smith, these men and others were appointed to become members of the First Quorum of 70. This was the beginning of increasing the quorum from only the seven presidents who presided over the quorums of the 70 throughout the church. Now, regarding the 70, we read, "The 70 are to act in the name of the Lord, under the direction of the 12, or the traveling high council, in building up the church and regulating all the affairs of the same in all nations." Now, members of the First Quorum of 70 administer, under the direction of the 12, the four departments to which I have referred earlier. The priesthood department determines policies and procedures for the Melchizedek priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, and the auxiliaries, and supervises activity programs. The curriculum department provides training materials, manuals, non-administrative handbooks, and is responsible for church magazines and coordinates the production of all church publications. The correlation staff checks all materials for study courses and magazines as to doctrine, coding, and so forth, and reports to the Correlation Committee made up of the presidents of the first presidency of the First Quorum of the 70. Together with presiding over the presiding bishopric and the Commissioner of Education. Here all teaching and training materials are correlated with the idea of preparing the individual member for temple work, missionary work, and responsibilities in different organizations of the church, and to prepare him for eternal life. This is the whole purpose of the church, to prepare the individual for eternal life. The missionary department provides missionary proselyting materials for preparing the prospective missionaries and for use in the field. It assists with the missionary assignments and oversees the operation of the visitor center and other matters pertaining to the missionary program. Now let me deal with the administration of the presiding bishopric. They are responsible for the administration of all the temple affairs assigned to them by the First Presidency. This includes physical facilities, where they act as a service department to acquire land and build buildings and maintain them, as required by the ecclesiastical division. They also supervise matters pertaining to finance, membership records, fast offerings, tithing, central purchasing, translation, and distribution. Then they have the heavy responsibility of administering the Welfare Services Department, whose vital program and policies are determined by the Welfare Services Committee, which is comprised of the First Presidency, the Quorum of the Twelve, the Presiding Bishopric, and the Relief Society Presidency. Included in the Welfare Services Program are the Deseret Industries operations throughout the world, stake, ward, and mission welfare programs, bishop storehouses, and so on. Now, the great growth and expansion of the church throughout the world has necessitated decentralization of administration, especially for the organizing and training of the members of the church in the developing areas, where there are many new branches, districts, wards, and states, comprised mostly of members who had little experience, if any, in the administration of church affairs. Now, in order to administer ecclesiastical affairs, the world has been divided into areas presided over by executive administrators. 12 of these areas are outside the United States and Canada. All executive administrators are members of the First Quorum of the 70, and outside of the United States and Canada are assigned to live within their area. To assist them in their administration, we have regional representatives who are made up of experienced, qualified men chosen from or living as near to the region as possible. Now, each regional representative works with several stakes and missions, and this makes it possible for the leaders in the stakes and missions to be in close contact regularly with executive administrators through the regional representatives, rather than to have to deal directly with headquarters in Salt Lake, which would take much more time. In order to administer temporal affairs outside the United States and Canada, there are directors for temporal affairs, appointed by the presiding bishopric, who under their direction supervise these matters in the areas where they are assigned to live. Again, this makes it possible for the local people to get immediate attention for their problems and provides proper training in all areas of administration. The executive administrator and the directors for temporal affairs carefully cooperate and correlate their activities through meeting regularly. Now, in general, all these matters are under the direction of the First Presidency. Specifically, in regularly scheduled meetings, the First President deals with the correspondence addressed directly to them, containing questions about everything imaginable. Their decisions involve the selection of new temple presidencies, when and where new temples should be built, and other matters to be discussed with the meeting when meeting with the Council of the Twelve Apostles and with the presiding bishopric. They also plan solemn assemblies, area conferences held throughout the world. The direct meetings of the Expenditures Committee, Public Communications, the Combined Church Board of Education, and Board of Trustees, Coordinating Council, and Welfare Services. Now, once a month on Thursday, they meet with all the general authorities in the temple and three times a month with the Council of the Twelve, where such matters as the following are considered and approved. Changes in state, ward, mission, and temple organizations throughout the church, including officers, boundaries, officers of, and administration of auxiliary organizations, matters submitted by the heads of different departments, and reports to the state conferences and other activities during the week, such as funerals, speaking engagements, and so forth. It is in this body that any change in administration or policy is considered and approved, and it then becomes the official policy of the church. As you know, the church has business corporations, such as Bonneville International Corporation, Beneficial Life Insurance Company, Hotel Utah, Zion Securities Corporation, Deseret News, Deseret Mutual Benefit Association, operating in the interest of the church and giving service to the public, and has some extensive farm and ranch holdings. Some have the erroneous idea that the church pays no taxes. I'd like to correct this impression and say that the church-owned corporations pay taxes at the same rate as any other comparable business corporation. We hope and pray always, every day, that the church is being properly administered by those who are placed in these responsible positions: the First Presidency, the Quorum of the Twelve, the First Quorum of the 70, and the Presiding Bishopric. And that the local officers may also be so blessed and directed. I bear my testimony that the church is directed by the Lord Himself through a prophet of God, and pray humbly that we may all appreciate our membership in the church, and strive diligently to prepare ourselves for eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.